You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday. It's May 1st, episode 3422. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic. Horse health.
Today.
And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world. Happy Wednesday.
No horse health today. We're talking about other stuff today.
I'll come up with something.
I'm sure you will. Jamie's going to tell us all about her trip to Kentucky. Welcome back, by the way. It's so good to talk to you again. And then we have Naomi Aguilar, who joins
Aguilar.
Us. No, she says Aguilar. I asked her about that. And she joins us from the island of Jersey, which is off the French coast. And she's going to tell us about her spotted dressage pony, Enzo, and the challenges of living on an island with horses. Do you have weird news?
Yeah, just a few.
All right. And then in the post show, we have a special guest joining us, and there's going to be a little wager about the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yeah.
With our special guest. Welcome back. It's so nice to have you back. I can't not tell you how many listeners messaged me asking if everything was okay at your farm. They knew you were gone, but Norman hit the news big time with all the tornadoes and along with everywhere else. And they were just wondering if everything was okay. So all good at the farm?
Yeah, all is good at the farm. It is crazy stressful to be sitting in an Airbnb watching Channel 9 News Oklahoma weather on your phone, like, and then the app cut out. And I'm texting everybody. Oh my God, yeah. So Chad and Lucas ended up having to get in the shelter, and the tornado went through OU. Farm boy who lives at OU, he was fine. Everything was fine. So
I didn't know it went through the college.
Yeah, I went right through the university. So it was, it was really, really, really stressful. But there was a lot of people in the state of Oklahoma who lost a lot. Plus, we had a lot more last night. We had to delay recording this morning because I had lightning this morning. It's just, this is that season. It's like hurricane season for you guys. Yeah. It's tornado season here, and it is just no fun. At all.
No, you had a couple of good years where there wasn't really much happening in your area, but now, you know, between Iowa and Nebraska and you. Jeez,
oh, the whole middle Texas. Of the country is just getting hammered.
Yeah. Well, our best to everybody out there who's been affected, and keep your heads down. Well, on Monday, Churchill Downs officials hosted the post-position draw. And why is that important to you specifically?
Oh, my God. Gosh, I'm so excited. So Churchill Downs, because it's the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, what they did was they picked 20 rescues because there's 20 post positions. They picked 20 rescues to partner with each horse with 20 different horses. And they did a draw, and they used thoroughbred aftercare organizations to partner with the horses. So like the one horse is partnered with this rescue, the two horse. And if that horse wins, that rescue gets a lot of money, $25,000 to the first place, to the winning horse. That the corresponding rescue gets that. Second place, 20, third place, 15, fourth place, 10, and everybody else, no matter what, gets $5,000. And so Horse and Hound was selected as one of the horse charities, which is fantastic. So they did the draw, and this year, the horse we are all cheering for, people, because this amount of money would be like, I could take every horse to the vet every time for at least a year, is Domestic Product. He is a Chad Brown trained horses, which I really think that Chad Brown deserves a win. It's his turn. However, I do like his other horses, Sierra Leone. We don't want to talk about the other horses. Yeah. We won't go there. Yeah. But Chad Brown is due. The jockey is due. The trainer is due. It's just ripe for Domestic Product. So everybody, we are cheering for Domestic Product. Although some of you might argue with me because your rescues are also involved.
It's number 15 slot. And also, this horse actually recently won the Tampa Bay Derby. So that's where it got the qualifying points to be here. So yes, it is a long shot, 30-1. But long shots have won a lot recently.
Yeah, and he hasn't run in like 8 weeks, I think. So they gave him a big rest. And so people are like, oh, it's too much rest, or oh, he's going to be well rested. So again, you know, it's just rubbing his racing, man. You just never know what's going to happen in the Derby. The best horse doesn't always win. And sometimes the best horse doesn't have great odds and comes through and wins in the end. So it's just, it's one of those races where it's just like, just stay on the horse.
And Old Friends, who you did an interview with that we played on Monday, our friend John over there at Old Friends, they got the number 13 horse to West Saratoga, which is 50-1.
Yeah.
So
well, remember a couple years ago, an 80-1 won. So, you know, stranger things have happened, but I'm definitely pulling for either one of these charities. Like, I mean, obviously Horse and Hound is just, it would just be so amazing. But any of this, we're just so happy to be picked. It's so cool.
All right, let's do some daily winnies, and then I want to hear all about your trip.
Okay.
We have three auditor birthdays today: Holly Huddleston, Nikki Schilling, and Kayla Haynes. Happy birthday to all of you.
Well, man, there's a billion people I would love to give a daily winnie to, but I got to go to the one person who made me cry the most and made all of us cry the most, and in a crazy weird way. His name is Philip Dutton. Dude, I've never been witness to the horsemanship that I saw.
Can we mention Philip that he's Dutton. 60 years old? He's my age. So.
60 years old, Glenn. I'm not kidding you. I saw something. So he was on in the 4-star, a mare named Jewelent, J-E-W-E-L-E-N-T, Jewelent. And they are coming through a combination. I was right at the jump. Okay. And they're coming through a combination. They gallop over, drop into the water, go through the water. And the jump out of the water was like this real skinny corner. And she kind of hung a leg a little bit, recovered, but he ended up on her neck and then ended up under her neck. And by God, that 60-year-old man did not give up. And that mare did, once she got stopped, did not move a muscle. And it was
while he was crawling around.
While he was crawling around. If you guys haven't seen this video, you got to see it, because it was almost a full minute. Like, he was like underneath her trying to yoga master Jedi mind trick his way back into the tack. Remember, if they fall off, they're eliminated. And so he was doing everything in his power to not fall off. And I swear to God, Glenn, it was like a minute and a half. It was the longest ever. And that mare did not move a muscle.
And you were right there at the time?
I was right there. Oh my God. And he shimmies some miraculous way, gets himself back into the tack, turns, gallops 3 strides, and jumps a ginormous fence and gallops up and finishes the course and show jumped with her on Sunday. It was the most incredible thing. This guy then on his next horse had a rotational fall over the last fence. Okay. 60 years old. Then proceeds to ride his next horse as the last to go for the day. It was Azure. It was unbelievable horsemanship, but just not even like to be able to get back up, to be able to stay on, then get back up and then go again at 60. I will tell you that, y'all, I've been vacillating on whether or not to enter Ace, my baby racehorse, in this horse show that's coming up. And I'm just like, God, I feel old. I'm so tired. I sent him my entry today. I rode him yesterday and I was like, yep, we're doing it. So I am, I am entering Ace into a horse trial, just a combined test in the dressage step. Very, very basic. His first
dressage
row,
and stadium, right? Is that
dressage and show jumping? I'm like, we better learn to jump. but I was like, I can't not do. I came home yesterday. I rode everything. I rode all the horses that I have. I was like, I will forever now compare myself to the 60-year-old Philip Dutton, who is just. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. So he got my daily winning. I'm sure he, you know, that and $5 to give me a cup of coffee.
That video went everywhere. I didn't follow a whole lot of the coverage, but I saw the video. That was everywhere.
When he galloped off, I look at my friends and we're all bawling. We're just bawling. Oh my God.
It did seem endless. And that horse, what a horse, just stand there during all of that.
Yeah. Finally, he was pulling, she was running circles, but then I think he realized he was holding the inside rein and making her turn. And once he let go of that rein, that mare just stood there. And there are people screaming and cheering, and she didn't move. And let him shimmy back up, turn around, canter three strides, and jump like a 9-foot fence. So it was amazing.
That's one you want when it retires, that horse right there.
Yeah.
So you also got to, God, every time I turned around, there were pictures of you and listeners. You met more listeners on this trip than we've ever met on
the trip. It was so amazing. We had the dinner on Friday night.
Which you were worried about nobody showing up to.
I was. So I booked it.
People, she kept saying that. Off the air. Nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to come.
Why would anybody come? Like, this is a dinner. Like, anyway, I booked it for 25 people because people were emailing me like, oh, we're going to come. Or like, no. Yeah. And it was very disorganized on how I was trying to keep track of numbers. And plus, you never know if anybody's going to come anyway. So I booked it for 25 and I was like, fingers crossed, it could be just me and my friends at a table for 25. And I got there. And do you know how many people came?
No.
25. Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was so cool. And I was so excited to see everybody and hang out. And oh my gosh, we had the best time. And our waiter was fantastic and like handled like a boss, all the different people, all the different checks. It was unbelievable. Glenn, I did put everybody's meal on your credit card.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I can expense those now. So that'll go to Equine Network.
You should have told me that ahead of time. I would have done it. We had such a great time. The whole Friday, I did something kind of different. So we got in Thursday and I just decided that I was going to take my friends on like the Kentucky experience. Okay. So Friday morning, I was like, what are we going to do? Let's go to breakfast at the Track Kitchen in Keeneland. And let's like see what we, you know, just go walk around because Keeneland's open to the public and it's the week before Derby, you know? So we decide to go to Keeneland and start walking around. I have a friend who's been a friend for 30 years and he has race horses. And he was like, yeah, I have a horse named Hidden Presence training with Graham Motion. I was like, okay. So we went, I was like, let's see if we can just walk around and see what we can see. And we are just after having breakfast, walk up and I see the sign for Graham Motion's barn. And there's this lady walking around. And I was like, hey, just like act like you know people, right? I'm like, is Hidden Presence here? And she had just breezed that morning. He was like, oh, I just missed me. I just want to watch a breeze. I was like, is Hidden Presence here? And this guy pops around the corner and he's like, how do you know who that is? And I was like, it's just my friend owns a part of race with Hidden Brook Farms. And he was like, oh, come on in. And I swear to God, I was like, oh my God, it's Graham Motion. It's Graham Motion.
He took you in?
He took me in the bar. He was like, oh, come on in. And he was just amazing. I mean, I recognize him, but I was like, then he started talking. I was like, oh my God, it's him. So he's like, come on in the barn. And he lets all of us come in the barn. And of course he's like, oh, how do you know all the people at Hidden Brook? And I'm like, oh, my friend Jack, you know, like that. Like I'm somebody, right? You know, and he takes us in, shows us the filly. You know, we just talked about her and he showed us around. It was Graham Motion. Like he and his wife actually part owned one of the horses that was competing at the 4-star. So he's a super great guy for aftercare, him and his wife, Anita. They're just fantastic people. So I was really thrilled to meet him. I got a picture with him and a Hidden Presence. And then after that, I was like, okay, I have a surprise for one of you. I took my friend Brooke. She has a horse who's like 14, I think. It's off the track thoroughbred named Kid Sydney. And Lemon Drop Kid is his sire. So I bought us tickets to go to meet Lemon Drop Kid.
Oh,
so
cool.
We went to Lane's End Farm, which is actually where Zenyatta is, but she's not part of this tour. And we got to meet all the stallions, including Flightline, who I just absolutely love. And she got to see her baby.
Lane's End is kind of nice.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And of course, then we all cried again, you know, because like that's what you do. And then after that, I had the meeting with John at Old Friends. So we start heading out. We go to Old Friends and meet up with John. And I'm like hand feeding treats to Silver Charm and I'll have another. Like what? Again, I'm going to stick with the whole hand feeding thing because these horses will bite your face off. I was like, how is this allowed? Like these
and
horses.
They've been hand fed from the time they were born.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And we all have another. It's like a giant stallion. So there's a picture of John and I. We're both like kind of like arm's length. He goes, he'll bite your face off. And but
John
Silver
was
Charm,
so excited you went too. I chatted with him after. He was so excited that you visited.
Oh, we had a great time. I mean, I'm riding around with the John Nicholson touring Old Friends. Like what? Who does that? Like what am I, a Kardashian? Like it was like a Kardashian-esque Kentucky day. Then after that, I was like, let's go visit the Secretariat Monument because that's the one that I like helped shape the sheath, you know. And you were right; they know where to stop. Like it's a traffic circle.
It is.
Where it's like 9 miles of traffic to get into this speeding around traffic circle. Really cool.
Is there
when you
a
go
place
over the
to
edge.
Stop?
It looks like people have, like, there was, like, this one I drove around that circle like Clark Griswold and you know, look, it's Parliament. I just kept driving around it. And then finally I veered off and I found a little spot to stop. So we stopped there.
It's like a weird place to put it, actually, especially if you want to get a picture.
Yeah, it's not a great friendly photographic place. But we did stop, dodge traffic, go up next to it, you know, said hi.
That's the one that you actually, you helped with.
Yes.
That's the one that you did one stroke.
I consulted on his sheath size, which was fantastic when I'm standing underneath him and we're discussing the sheath and I've got my hands up almost touching it and somebody took a picture. So that's out there on the internet somewhere. So then after that, we had a couple hours before dinner. I mean, this is just like, and you guys understand, I have been through with all my mom's situation about 5 months of hell. And it's just once a day, I get a phone call of something disastrous or potentially or say goodbye. Oh, now she's okay. You know, like literally something happens every day. And Friday was the first day that nobody called me and it was amazing. So after this, after we consulted the appointment, visited Secretariat, we were like, okay, well, we've got some time before we go to the restaurant. Let's just drive around the bluegrass. And so we headed out and drove. And my friend Brooke's like, there's a winery right there. And I was like, So we went and wine tasted for like an hour at Equus Run Vineyards. And it was a fantastic horse farm vineyard type thing. And then we went to the dinner. It was fantastic. I think I slept a full, you know, 27 hours after that because it was the most fun. Just one of those days where you're just like, oh, I just needed a day like today and just with good friends and meeting awesome people and horses and shopping and wine tasting and everything. I even got a wine glass to come with it. So I it was just one of those amazing days. So
I did. And
then Saturday we get up and let's watch some cross country. And we just walked that whole course. I think we ended up with 29,000 steps on our step counter, which is fantastic.
And you guys had the most perfect weather for the whole weekend. I mean, it hasn't been that good in 25 years.
I don't remember it ever being that good. So it was just...
How was it crowded on Saturday?
I think they said there was 27,000 people
on
Saturday.
Down from previous years, but...
Yeah, it didn't seem like psychotic, which it usually does. Yeah. But it was packed, but it wasn't like painful, you know, like
there's been years where it's painful.
Yeah. And then when sometimes if you get weather, everybody crowds together at the same places and that's painful too. So, but no, it was great weather, great crowds.
Did you fill up the extra bag?
Oh, dear God. I did. And I had things shipped direct. But I will tell you, we went to this one saddle maker. It was like Sunday afternoon after show jumping. We were in the tents and my friend Brooke has been shopping for a saddle. And so we walked into the saddle tent and there was one and she goes to sit down on it. I am not kidding you, Glenn. These women selling this saddle swooped down out of nowhere with glasses of wine for everybody and like a bottle. They kept topping you off. It was like
they
I
saw
was
the
like,
40-year-old crowd that has money and is going to buy a saddle.
Yeah, well, one of us bought a saddle. The other one was almost there. But I was like, this is the smartest thing ever. Like, just get a bunch of drunk chicks after Rolex, get them all hammered, and buy saddles. It was great. But no, but there was a definitely like, you know how we like to highlight a product that we see that we kind of really like. This is really cool. There's a company called Correct Connect. Have you heard of them?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. If you go to ridecorrectconnect.com, I'm going to get this woman on because I've seen their videos on Facebook for this neck strap. And I always thought, I was like, man, that's really cool. And I was walking around the booth and I was like, oh my God, this is that. This is Correct Connect. And I look and they have the neck straps there. And basically the product that I liked of everything there is it's a neck strap that goes around the horse's neck, but it also attaches to your saddle and it has this handle that comes up. It's called the double neck strap and has this handle. And as many racehorses as I ride, when I ask for that first trot or first canter, I just casually grab some mane just because I don't, if I'm asking them to go, I don't want to, if they blast off, I don't want to rip them in the face and tell them no, because I'm asking them to go. So I always just kind of just take what I get, but I always grab a little mane, but my hands are a little too low and too forward and I'm not really secure. And I was like, this product would fix that.
Is that the one that's kind of adjustable? The neck strap, the handhold part's adjustable?
Yes, exactly. And it looks so cool. So I got one. And I also bought a visor from her because I really like their visors. They were like, they don't fly off her helmet, which most of the visors fly off the helmet and hit the horse's butt and then you get bucked off. So I bought a visor too. But this woman, I said, who owns this? And she was like, I do. She and one other woman. And I was like, well, who invented all this stuff? I did. I'm like, wait, stop, hold on. You mean you're and she was an inventor or is an inventor still. And I think she even competed at Rolex when it was Rolex. And she invented all these products, these reins, these pants. She had a pair of sweatpants that were riding pants. But like,
oh, that's cool.
You could ride. It was awesome. And I just, every one of her products, she kind of like invented with the help of like other people who ride. And anyway, independent business woman owned all the, it checked all the boxes. So I got her number to have her on, but I got the neck strap and I'll give you guys a review of it when I get some new racehorses in, because I just was like, this is the coolest thing ever. So ridecorrectconnect.com is the double neck strap. It's pretty cool.
Sounds fantastic. I was so happy to see all your pictures and all the pictures of listeners with you, and just made my weekend.
Oh my gosh. I have to give a special mention to one listener that I met. Her name is Charlie, and she's my son's future wife, just so you know. Like, she is around his age and is the cutest, sweetest thing I've ever met. And she rides. And her mom was telling me that she rides her horse, but it's not really like the best mount. And apparently, little Charlie put her name in the hat for Taco Tuesday. So I was like, right on. I go, he's not ready yet, but he would be perfect for her. Like, I was like,
this is.
Yes, she listens. And again, reminding me to keep it clean, people.
Yeah,
keep it clean. She's the one who recognized me walking through the crowd. Yeah. Oh my God, Charlie.
Charlie
adored her. And she's so sweet. And her mama, her family was great. Her grandma was there, like the whole thing. They're even thinking about coming to the movement, which would be awesome.
Oh, speaking of which, we're running out of time, but let's get a plug in for the movement.
Oh my gosh. Well, you saw the press release, right?
Yeah. She sent an email out, I think.
Yeah. So the press release for the movement, it's a random thing. Anyway, hi, Charlie. Hi, Charlie's mama. Hi, Charlie's grandma. The whole family was there. They were super cool. And I rode Taco Tuesday and I'm getting ready for you. There we go. So the movement, before we get to our guest, is something that we hold the seventh year in a row for the movement 2024, and it's going to be at Monty Roberts Farm. And I am so excited because I get to do this and I get to hang out with Monty, but also Monty's tour rider, her name is Joanna Lowe's. She's been on this show before. She lives in Wales and she is one of my favorite people on the planet, and she's coming in to help as well. So it's going to be Joanna and me and Monty training horses. What? When did I die and wake up a Kardashian? Like, again, it's crazy. And then Jared Rogerson is going to be there. He's going to do a Friday night concert. We're going to have the a woman named Nada DeMaio, who's a founder of a wild horse sanctuary. And so it's going to be a lot of wild horse stuff.
A special screening of a certain movie.
And they're going to screen the Cowboy and the Queen, so you get to finally see that movie. Then a guy named Robert Dutesco, who actually went to Sable Island and photographed all the wild horses, and he's bringing his exhibit there, and it's an interactive, like, screens and video and pictures and just unbelievable. So he's going to be there. Plus, do you remember Raphael, the giant 18-hand horse that I had in training?
Yes.
His mother is a PSF Sweden saddle fitter, bridle fitter, all the things that she does. And she is going to come and she is going to do a demonstration on saddle fitting and bridle fitting with these PSF Sweden bridles. Plus, I'm going to make her bring a ton of saddle pads so we can all buy them. So it's going to be fantastic. And there's going to be some other certified instructors that are going to be there. It's going to be like the most fun one yet. So if you guys have already come, come again. Again, with the ticket, there's only 50 tickets sold. So you have to do it soon. But there's going to be demonstrations, Q&As, the screening of Cowboy and the Queen, gift bag, catered lunch Saturday and Sunday, wine and cheese party with the Jared Rogerson concert. You get a 3-month pass to Monty Roberts University, and there will be on-demand recordings of all the sessions after the event. Again, please make sure you come. It's going to be so super fun. I'm really excited about this year. And it's June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
And they go to the website, MontyRoberts.com. Yeah.
MontyRoberts.com.
All right. Very good. Well, I wanted to ask you, State Line Tech was set up there. Was it as busy as it always is?
Oh my God. There you have like the entire top level. Yeah, it's insane.
And there's always a ton of State Line Tech bags. Well, if you miss,
you know what? I was looking for boots. All I wanted to do was buy some dang boots, and they didn't have any selection of like new, they had all their winter boots. Like everybody was selling winter boots.
Well, they're trying to get rid of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can, if
so
you
I did. I was going to buy from them for the boots, but, you know, they didn't have it.
If you didn't get a chance to shop there or you didn't go to Kentucky, then you can still go to statelinetech.com. They're having their stable steals going on right now. Big banner at the top of the homepage. Click on that. And one of the categories in their stable steals is footwear. So if you want to right now, you can check out deals up to 40% off on footwear. They also have blankets and apparel. They are trying to get a lot of these places are trying to get rid of their winter stuff because the spring stuff and summer stuff will be now coming in.
It's like winter breeches and winter boots. Boots were all everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they're all trying to get rid of them. So if you want a deal, head on over to statelinetech.com right now to do that. Our guest coming up today. Now, I did this interview a little bit earlier when Jamie was hiding in the basement with the storm that was going through. Her name is Naomi Aguilera, and she is out of an island called Jersey off the British coast. And she is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. And I absolutely loved her. Hi, Naomi. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we got to start. There's a couple stories with you I want to talk about. One is your spotted horse, obviously, that is making his ways up to the Grand Prix ranks in dressage. And you don't see that too often. But also the fact that you live on an island that's pretty isolated. So tell us where the island of Jersey is.
So we are in between the UK and France. It's a 9 by 5 mile island. So we're very secluded. Occasionally when the weather gets really bad, there's not a lot of food in the shops when the ferries can't sing. Yeah, but it's a beautiful place to live. Very, very lucky to live here. We can go swimming in the sea. We're never further than 2 miles away from a beach. So it's beautiful place to live.
And you're not too far from Guernsey, the other island right next to you.
Right on tour. So we can see that on a clear day from our cliff paths. And we can also see France from the other side of the island on a clear day.
So I have to ask you, and I've always wondered this, are the cows named after your islands or are the islands named after the cows?
I can't tell you that. I'm not actually sure, but I live on a farm here and we have Jersey cows just outside. And so they're a big part of the farm and the Jersey life. And they're just the most beautiful characters as well as so pretty.
And any World War II fans will know your islands because there's been multiple documentaries done. The movie Island at War.
Yeah.
About there. There's been there was a TV show recently that was done. I mean, there's been so much done about those particular islands, especially in relation to World War II.
Absolutely. It's a Liberation Day is coming up, and that's a huge thing for our island. And we also have a very big horse show on Liberation Day where we do a lot of showing and jumping at one of the showgrounds on the island. There's parades going on in town in St. Helier, which is town. It's an amazing part and an amazing community to be in here.
So tell us about horses on the island. Are there a lot and what kind? You know, what's the story about horses there?
Yeah, so there's a lot more horses here than I think people realise, and there's horses of all disciplines. We have eventers on the island, but although we have no events, they also travel to the UK to compete there. We've got good level dressage on the island. We have British dressage shows regularly, but only throughout the summer months and normally one a month. So we have to make sure we plan if we want to get any qualifiers for the UK. We have a British Show Jumping Association over here. Which run that, and a couple of clubs. We run a club here at the farm, Home Farm Equestrian, so we're on Facebook as well, and I run that alongside a group of friends here, which is super, super fun.
Well, I live in Florida where hay is very expensive. I can't imagine what you guys have to go through, because it all has to come by boat, right?
Well, not quite. So okay. Where we live is belongs to a guy called Trevor Barrett and his wife Karen, and he makes the hay for us. So we're very, very lucky to live here because he's a farmer and he farms a lot of the land over here, and he makes silage and hay and haylage and all sorts of farming stuff. So we're very lucky that he can make it on the island, but the shops over here, the horse shops, do have to import it from the UK if we run out.
So, and getting to shows in England, that's a how long a ferry ride?
So it depends. If the weather is very kind and there's no wind, we can get the fast ferry, which is 4.5 hours. But more often than not, we have to go overnight, which is about a 12-hour ferry ride. Yeah. And the horses are very good, actually. Once they've done it a couple of times, they're pretty seasoned. But it's a 12-hour ferry ride. We have to get there an hour and a half before it sails. So if you think about that coming back from a long drive in the UK, sometimes they can be on the lorry for 15, 16 hours. So we have to give them lots of recovery mash and sloppy feeds and make sure they're all happy and well.
So they stay on the lorry? That's what happens?
Yeah, so they stay on the lorry and we go up onto the ferry, which is nice. It's got a bar, pretty windy, and a bed, and we can go down on checking them whenever. We take our dogs with us as well. They normally stay in the lorries, but the new ferry has a dog cabin, which is really cool, so we can take our dogs on the boat with us.
That section of sea is known to be pretty rough. Is that a problem for the horses?
So they won't travel them if it's rough. Okay. They're very, condor are very, very good. They're huge on safety. The bigger boats are generally easier, that they're not quite as rough. The fast ferry can sometimes be a little bit rough. You get all the old sea legs on there. But they tend to be very good. And the horses travel really well, actually. I mean, touch wood, I've never had a bad journey with them. Even the young ones, and if they're a bit worried, we just give them a little bit of sedation from the vets, who are really supportive, just to give them a safe journey. Then when they get older, they tend to know the deal, really.
And I can't imagine it's cheap to travel that far on a ferry.
No, so it's on a good, if you book in advance and it's not a busy season, it's about 750, but it could go up to £1,000 return. So to go and do these trips to the UK, to go and do one or two shows, which is, you know, effectively 5 minutes in the ring, it can be upwards of $2,000-$2,500.
Wow. I mean, horse shows aren't cheap anyway. You just have that added layer right there. Okay. Do you set up dressage rings on the beach and practice there? I have to know.
Oh, no, we don't. But that would be a fantastic idea.
That's what I pictured.
No, that would be a brilliant idea. We don't. We have lots of lovely sand schools on the island, but that would be really cool to do one day.
What about breeds on the island?
So, there's actually quite a lot of cobs and natives over here. So there's lovely show horses over here as well. But a variety, really. We've got a couple of really nice riding schools. So we've got the, you know, the old sturdy ponies that the kids can learn on. There's some beautifully bred big dressage warm bloods over here. My youngster is bred for dressage, my three-year-old. So he's over here. And we've got, you know, my friend has a traditional stallion, a fell stallion, a native mare. So a big, big variety. There's a couple of Clydesdales on the island. Big variety over here.
All right, so let's go back to when you were 19 years old and you made a spur-of-the-moment decision and then had to tell Dad.
So I was in my room at home, and I lived with my parents at the time, and I was just scrolling through Facebook on my laptop, the same laptop I'm talking to you on now, actually, and this little spotty pony looked at me, and he was 2 weeks old, and it just said deposit secure. So I just contacted them and said, oh, my God, I have to have him. And I didn't think it through, and I went downstairs and said, Dad, I bought a foal.
A lot of horses are bought that way, not thinking it through.
I didn't know where I was going to put it or what I was going to do with it or even how I was going to do what I did with it. So I bought him, and the rest is history.
Now, what kind is he?
So he is a Knabstrapper. His father is a Knabstrapper, and his mother is an Appaloosa. And he was bred by White Hawk Stud in Bristol. So he was from the UK. So he actually traveled over on this long journey on the boat when he was 6 months old.
With those two breeds, you had to have spots. There was going to be spots.
You had to have spots. But interestingly, his dad isn't very spotty, and his mum is just a bay colour. So there's some, I'm not very into breeding, but there's some special way that they made the most beautiful spots, which I adore.
And you started working with them. You did the training yourself. You gentled them and did all that stuff. And at what point did you see that Enzo was going to be a dressage horse?
Well, at the time, I actually did more jumping than dressage. And then I lost my nerve a little bit with jumping. And the lady I worked for at the time had a 17.2 Friesian. And I thought, my God, this isn't going to jump. So I had to learn a bit of dressage. And I just met the most lovely people along the way. And I got my older horse up to advanced medium. So at the time, for Enzo, dressage was never on the cards. And I used to sort of, he was just my little baby pony. He was a bit like a Labrador. So we used to potter around the roads and do this. I mean, I couldn't catch him at all when he came. He was totally, totally feral. We had to corner him in a corner with some fencing to get him. And we just potted around. And when he was, I broke him when he was 3.5, and we hacked for about 6 months. I actually broke him in the sea. My friend dared me to swim on top when we were walking in the sea, and I did, and he was very good. And then as we developed over the years, we've had some brilliant trainers. I used to train with Jodie Phillips, and we train with Roland Tong, and they started seeing these little glimpses and going, oh, do you know, you can actually do quite well with this. So he got through to the Petplan Championships at prelim and came eighth at the championships when he was rising 5. He won the semi-finals at elementary as a 6-year-old. And then when we started to get to the higher levels, I lost my nerve a little bit going to the UK in a tailcoat with these beautiful riders and these beautiful horses. And I thought, what am I doing here? I can't do this. And I had a massive confidence knock. And then actually last year he came second at the championships at Arena UK, the Petplan Championships in the PSG. And it was a bit like I needed that confidence to be like, oh my God, we can do this. And my trainer, he's brilliant. I said to him, I only want to go to PSG. He said, no, you don't. You want to go higher. I said, no, I honestly, I do. And he was right. And I do. And when we started playing with the PF and the Passage, and he was like, yeah, I can do this. And I was like, oh my God, we're doing it. So we did our first Inter 2 a few weeks ago. We've got about 4 under our belts now. He's been amazing. The judges' comments are fantastic. And we're just sort of really enjoying the journey now. We seem to be away.
You have to be the most spotted horse there at the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Or the only spotted horse. I'm not sure which.
Yeah. So there's a couple of them here and there. There's a lady in the UK which I'm Facebook friends with because we both have spotty horses at the higher level, and she's really, really lovely. Her horse competes at PSG and Inter 1. But Enzo's certainly the smallest. So he's 14-1 on a very good day with his specialist shoes on. But yeah, no, it's amazing.
So with high heels, he's 14-1?
Yeah. So he's actually laminitic. So I have to manage him very, very carefully. He is just a little laminitic spotty pony. And I'm sponsored. Luckily, my best friend is a vet and she runs Island Equine and she's very supportive. And my farrier is fantastic. And we got his feet on these little 3D pads and he's got little springy things in his feet and he springs away.
I was looking at pictures of you riding him. How tall are you? Because you don't look too big for him.
So I'm only 5'1", okay. Which massively works in my favor because I mainly ride ponies. That's my job. So I managed to get on all the little kiddywinks ponies, which I love because, I mean, I can ride the bigger horses, but I'm much more at home on a pony.
So you must be the highlight at all the shows because you're going there and all these warm bloods kind of look the same, right? So, yeah. I mean, and you stand out. So do you find that more people are watching you? Is that a little bit of added pressure for you?
Do you know what? Yeah, I mean, I really feel pressure from the outside. Only this year I'm learning to sort of just enjoy what we've got. And, you know, he's never going to be perfect. He naturally is a little bit short in the neck. There's things that are limiting for him. But I'm actually starting to just be like, yeah, here I am with my best friend. Other people can do this too. You know, I think it's easy to watch, especially these days on social media, these beautiful big horses swanning about and it all looking so easy. But actually, you don't have to have a beautiful big warm blood to be able to go and compete at the higher levels. And the things that you don't see on social media, I mean, especially for me, it took me 2 years to get a clean flying change on Enzo. And I used to sit in the barn and cry to my friends going, oh, my God, I just can't do it. And now he swings around doing one-time changes, you know, and he is still just a spotty pony that can dance, which is amazing.
So where do you see, are you going to continue to try and go up the levels with him? Or have you reached, you're pre-St. George now, right, heading into Grand Prix?
Yes, so he's just competed PSG and Inter 1 at the championships in the UK. So I'm now sort of moving on a little bit from that. And we've just qualified for the Middle Tour Championships, which is Inter 2, which is effectively a baby Grand Prix. And I think that, you know, the Grand Prix is in breathing distance, which is really scary. I find the zigzag of the Grand Prix really hard. So I'm trying to make sure that I don't put that pressure onto him and I ride it correctly and he will just do what I tell him to do. So Grand Prix is in you know, I can feel it in my fingers, which is really exciting. So this year we're going to go and do the Midway Champs in the UK, the Middle Tour Championships. And I'm out and about showing with my friends' horses as well. We're doing a couple of the Hoys qualifiers and the London qualifiers. So if there's any dressage along the way, we'll be there and we'll just keep playing with it. We love it.
Okay, I love this. And I can imagine the freestyle music. So please tell me you're doing freestyles with this horse and what do you do it to?
Absolutely. So his freestyle for his PSG was Sia. So it was Unstoppable. We came down the center line to Unstoppable, which was amazing. Yeah, and my friend wasn't quite sure when she heard the sort of reggae music from a couple of her other songs, and actually it just suits him so well, and it's just his music, so that's amazing. So now I'm going to hopefully work with my trainer this month to get a Grand Prix freestyle together and have a little play with some music and see what we can do there. So it's very special to us, the freestyles.
Yeah, reggae fits. I mean, you need something. You can't do classical or even, you got to do something different with a pony that has spots like that.
Yeah, you got to be out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love everything about this. And congratulations with him. It's something that you never planned on doing, but here you are. And look, you've overcome twice now confidence issues to get to the point where you are now. And would you say that it was Enzo that got you through those confidence issues? Without him, you wouldn't have done it?
Yes. I mean, for me, the pressure of the confidence was tricky because I ride for a living. I had owners I couldn't let down and I put so much pressure on myself. It's only this year I'm learning to sort of, I'm naturally quite an anxious person anyway, but it's only this year I'm starting to really enjoy the journey. But Enzo has been by my side through everything, you know, for the last 10 years. And I'm just so grateful to him because he's a quirky little guy as well. And because I'm quirky, we just kind of fit. I always joke with my friends, he's actually a little bit autistic because in the school, he's so clever. He can do anything I ask him to do, but socially wise, he can be a little bit grouchy to people he doesn't know or to horses he doesn't know. But I massively trust him, you know, when we're training and he gets a little bit spicy, I know he'll never put me on the floor. There are certain things, galloping on the beach in a group is a big no-no because I will be on the floor. And, you know, I remember we did a showing show here and he won the rare and foreign breeds. He won the coloured class, and we went into the championship, and it was sort of like, oh, come on, Enzo. And he bronked the entire gallop because it was just far too exciting. But I really, really, really trust him, and I know him inside out. So the confidence, not only as a fear point of view, but actually as a, you know what you're doing in the training. I always struggle with, you know, this imposter syndrome is huge. You know what you're doing with the training, and the fact that I've got this little spotty pony and he understands what I want from him is hugely humbling, hugely amazing for me.
I love everything about this. And you have a Facebook page where people can follow on. By the way, I found the picture of you riding in the ocean. So I'm going to put that as our show notes picture for today, because I just love that picture. It's a great shot.
Yeah, my best friend, Becca, she is a photographer, and she's taken photos of him from a four-year-old up. So he's got a whole journey, a whole album of thousands and thousands of photos and videos of him growing up with me.
Well, will Becca allow me to use that picture?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. She'd love it.
Good. And where can people follow you on Facebook? I noticed that you have your own Facebook page for the Spotted Pony.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get better with Facebook and Instagram to share our story. So our Instagram is spotty.dressage, and on Facebook we're Dance with the Spots, Enzo's Journey Across the Channel.
Very good. Naomi, thank you so much for joining us today. I love everything about this, and now we're going to follow you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hanging out here with the mad scientist who developed daily dose equine horse feed formulas, Janet Geyer. And you might wonder, whenever I get my horse feed delivered to my door in Maryland or Texas or California or Missouri, am I getting the same horse feed? And the answer is?
The answer is that it is always the same formula, always the same horse feed. We don't change ingredients. We are a fixed formula feed mill.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Cowgirls and Ridiculous Ranches, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge-watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's the weird news of the week. And so many people sent me one particular story, so I have to do that one, and I'll do it first. But remember, if you're ever looking through the news and you see something, you're like, that is super weird, email it to me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, with weird news in the subject line, just like Julie, Michelle, Jolynn, Valerie, Lorene, Debbie, Claire, Monica, and Lindsay all did. And the one that most people sent me, it's just funny. North Bend, Indiana. Oh, wait, no, this is in Washington State. Okay, North Bend, okay. Washington State. Authorities are searching for the one remaining zebra that escaped a trailer. I watched the news. Okay, so it starts out with like, They're in like North Bend, Washington. And I don't know if you know much about that, but the interviews were done with people that maybe have participated in some green items and are in coffee houses. Like, it is like, it's like, how high is the guy that you like, let's find the highest guy to interview. But basically what happened was somebody was transporting four zebras to Montana, and they were leaving Wyoming. And at some point the owner, there's still a lot of questions around the why, but, or how, but she pulled over on the side of the road to, I think, fix her something, you know, whoever know, you stop on the side of the road to make sure everything's locked. Well, apparently the door wasn't locked, and somehow the four zebras that were in her stock trailer got out and like ran away. And at some point, somebody pulls over and sees them on the side of the exit ramp, like all out eating grass right alongside the freeway. So the people in the area all like drove their cars along the guardrail and kind of parked it and made like a little wall to keep the zebras off of the freeway. Well, that worked, but then they spooked and took off into the neighborhoods, and all these stoners are like being interviewed like, dude, it was so crazy. Like, these zebras were like outside. I've never seen a zebra outside of a zoo. It was crazy. Like, I mean, they're just like, it's just, it's like when thinking, you,
is my weed stronger than usual today?
Yeah. Yeah. How high am I right now? But it's so fun to see, like, you know, in the Southeast, if something happens, they find the most redneck shirtless fat drunk guy to be interviewed. And here I was like, let's find the most hipster stoner that we can possibly find. And they were all interviewed. So they have they had caught three of them. There's still one left. I guess one of the interviews was like, and then so like I called someone and I was like, so I found the missing zebras and they're like in my yard and I'm not like sure what to do. So they corralled three of them, and I think the fourth one is still.
There was a follow up on the fourth one that I saw this morning, and it was some trail riders were out riding and the zebra popped out of the woods.
Oh, so that'll spook your horse.
They called it in. So apparently they did see the zebra. It's out there. He's probably pretty lonely by now. He lost his friends.
I know. It's like, where did all my
friends go? He saw the horses
and
went, well, that's close.
I guess they were all captured, and this one jumped out of the fence because they had like been yarded and everything, and this one took off. So he's like, I don't care about my friends.
Is Zeus loose? Are they out together?
I know. Zeus probably did it. Damn it, Zeus. Seems like it's just a bad recipe when people start drinking in national parks. Like, I'm just going to say, if you're a drunk guy in Yellowstone, don't do what this guy did. Park rangers have now arrested.
Let me guess, it involves a buffalo.
How did you know?
Because it always involves a
buffalo. he didn't pet it, Glenn, to be fair. They were pulled over after they were reported, and both the driver and this 40-year-old man who was in the passenger seat were, everybody's drunk. And he has since been arrested because what did he do that people saw him do? He walked up to a buffalo and kicked it in the shin.
What?
Yes. He kicked a buffalo. He walked up and kicked the buffalo.
Well, that's safe.
Well, guess what happened?
The buffalo didn't like it?
He got hurt by the buffalo.
No kidding.
And so when he was pulled over, he was charged with being under the influence, disorderly conduct, approaching and disturbing wildlife. And at some point they were like, his injuries were not disclosed in this news article from Montana, but Wyoming. So yeah, Idaho Falls man arrested for being drunk and kicked you a buffalo. If that isn't weird news, I don't know what is.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I think that
did you know bison can sprint 40 miles an hour?
Yeah. Good reason not to stand there 2 feet from them to get a selfie.
Yeah. Don't get a selfie with a bison. They will hurt you.
And elk.
And don't
same
kick
way.
Them in the shin.
Moose and elk, same way.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, not a good idea.
You know what else will hurt you, Glenn? A grizzly bear.
So far, we haven't been to Florida. I'm excited.
We'll probably get. Actually, yeah. No, I think we're Florida free today. Woo-hoo! Oh my God, it's a miracle.
That's
I had to edit some out. I wanted to keep this kind of animal friendly. So I'm going to give you the story about a grizzly bear.
Oh.
But where grizzly bears will hurt people, this is the people that it hurts. So there's a zoo. And where is this zoo? Let's see. I'll get to it. Oh, Seattle. So there is
God,
Seattle.
We're in the Northwest today.
I love it. So Seattle Zoo, and there's all these children, and they're lined up. You know, with the grizzly bears have the like big pool that they jump in and swim around in. Unfortunately, a mama and her ducks decided to land in the grizzly bear pool. No. And swim around.
Bad choice, mama.
I actually had to stop watching the video because it was kind of breaking my heart a little bit. But this is all on video. Just teaching children about nature.
It is a circle
There's
of life.
There's a lot of children that are watching these grizzly bears. and these ducks arrive and are in the pond, and it's like a mama and a bunch of babies, and the ducks made a bad choice. They made a bad choice, let's be fair. So it's Seattle Zoo, children all around. The bear, and this is a video too, the bear circles the edge of the water a few times and then leaps in and grabs the mother duck. Like, done. Like, and the children are all screaming. Oh, my God. So then the bear just walks around and just goes.
Oh, it's like lunch. Just starts lunch showed up at his pond.
Baby ducks, and it's just grabbing the ducks and like shoving them into its mouth.
Oh, no.
You hear the kids screaming. One little girl's like, "It's just a baby, Mom. They're just babies." I was like, what do you want her to do? Like, yeah. That mama duck made some poor choices in child raising, and nobody has anything to show for it. But the bear had a really nice meal.
Oh, wow. Ate them all?
So it ate them all. Like, just boom, 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 boom. And again, all on video. So there's the internet for you. You're welcome.
Welcome to the zoo. What show are we showing today? It's duck eating.
Well, it's called duck death. Now, this last one, it's not an animal-related one, but I just wanted to end the day with making you incredibly uncomfortable. Okay? So there's a man, and it's in California.
Can I just add, it doesn't take much to make you incredibly uncomfortable?
This is pretty good. So this man is in California. He's a father of two. And he goes into, actually, no, it's not California. I just assumed it was California. It's Pennsylvania. He's in Pennsylvania, Glenn. He is undergoing a surgery to prevent him from having more children. And the surgery takes 20 minutes. And they are, and he's in twilight, right? So he's awake while they're doing this procedure on his balls. And just in case you didn't get where I was going, they're mid-surgery, Glenn. Mid-surgery, 10 minutes in, right? The meat of the whole thing. And an earthquake hit.
Oh, no.
I can't read to you his tweet.
Yeah, remember, we have children listening.
Yeah. So apparently, he said that the whole surgery started out totally normal, and he's 10 minutes into his 20-minute surgery, and 10 minutes into the 20-minute surgery, the whole room started shaking. And he, you know, when an earthquake happens, you're always like, what's happening here? Did a plane go too low? Like, what is that? And apparently the surgeon goes, is that an earthquake? While he's mid-surgery. Like, what could possibly go wrong? The doctor was able to keep things together the way that he's supposed to. I guess not. That was a weird way to say that. Yeah. The doctor's able to keep things apart appropriately. It's so many jokes. I can't. Joke overload. After it settled, he had to stop for a minute. Once they settled, resumed the procedure, and they all laughed about how they would never forget. They were when the earthquake happened, which was mid-vasectomy.
Dude will never forget either.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he tweeted a blank earthquake happened in the middle of my vasectomy. Well, that tweet now has like 9 billion shares, and he has gone incredibly viral, and it's a whole thing. So,
and everybody now knows he's not having babies either. So.
No babies. And what's really fun is that his wife, when she picked him up, took a picture of him doing two thumbs up outside the Urology Health Surgery Center. So you can see what this man looks like. And I'm pretty sure he's got a nice pec somewhere. Okay. There you go.
We do need to meet our kid listeners every once in a while to remind us.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Too. Yeah.
Cuz we do forget sometimes.
Just don't listen to the post-show children.
No, that's not allowed. I mean, we play a bumper for that. for that express purpose. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. It's good to be back together
again. It's basically he got gelded. Let's just go with he got
that's
gelded.
Right, that's right.
He was getting gelded, and an earthquake happened in the middle of his gelding. I'm going to start talking now for Charlie. Like, I'm going to explain things to Charlie. Charlie, he's okay. He just got gelded, but everything went okay.
And Charlie, if you want to send a bad ad in, send them in to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. This Friday, we'll be picking the winners of all the prizes. So you have one more day to get your ads in to be qualified for the prizes. And Jennifer needs some, actually. So y'all get to busy. Get on Craigslist and Facebook and start looking for those ads for Friday. We'll be back. We haven't done one together in a while, so this will be fun. And I also wanted to thank Ashley for filling in both of the days you were out. It's so nice having Ashley there because she just fills in and it's no big deal at all. It's nice to have her there. And she books most of the guests, so she knows more about them than we do anyway. So that I do appreciate her doing that as well. But we'll be back on Friday.
All right, everybody, spay, neuter, geld, and other things. Vasectomies.